Earlier this week, Edgar Martinez of the Seattle Mariners announced that this will be his last year as a baseball player. Many consider Martinez the best right-handed hitter of his era. He compiled impressive statistics over the course of his career, but he also plays the most controversial and, some might say, the most despised position in the game. Edgar Martinez is a designated hitter. The retirement of the best DH to date raises questions about how we evaluate these players, how they affect the game, and what they have to accomplish to get serious consideration for election to baseball's Hall of Fame. This is not a poll for or against the designated hitter. The American League DH has been around for a good while now. It's not going away anytime soon. The question is how to judge a DH in an increasingly specialized game of baseball. The number here, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now from Seattle is Alan Schwartz, a senior writer for Baseball America and a columnist for the New York Times. Alan, always good to have you on the program.
Oh, it's nice to be here, Neil. Thank you for having me.
You're in Seattle to interview Edgar Martinez, and I wonder, what did he tell you about how he evaluates his career?
Well, he understands, that there are differing opinions. Let's face it, the designated hitter is probably the most divisive rule change in baseball history. And he knows that there will be differing opinions. I think that he is very proud of his accomplishments as an offensive player, but he understands that other people want to see, more all-around talent from their Hall of Famers. They want to see defensive skills. And because of injuries, mainly, he was not able to play third base anymore. So I think he understands that there are differing opinions. And, he's a very thoughtful man. He's a very humble man. And I think he will accept whatever history has for him.
Talk to us a little bit about his accomplishments. How well did he do? And is it fair to say that for many years, at least, he was the best right-handed hitter in the game?
He was the best right-handed hitter in the game, and certainly the best pure right-handed hitter, because this is a guy who could do everything with the bat. He could hit for average. He could hit for power. And he could also take a walk, which, of course, in our era has been unmasked as incredibly important. This is a guy with a .315 roughly lifetime batting average, an over .400 on-base percentage, an over .500 slugging percentage, and that's everything you want from an offensive player. His problem is that he didn't do it for quite long enough. Most people don't remember that Martinez did not become a regular player until he was about 27 years old. And so in the counting statistics, not the averages, but the totals, he has, quote-unquote, only 305 home runs entering this season, 1,250 RBIs or so, about 2,200 hits, and that really isn't what you want to see from a Hall of Fame player. He was fantastic from 1995 to 2001, but that's only seven seasons, and most people, including me, want to see more from a player than just that, particularly a designated hitter.
We're talking about Edgar Martinez in particular and designated hitters in general. Our number, 800-989-8255. We're, of course, talking with Alan Schwartz. And let's talk now with Jeff, who's with us from Lander, Wyoming.
Hi. I just wanted to say, whether or not a designated hitter should be allowed in the game is a separate question, because I don't necessarily agree with that. But the fact is there is a designated hitter position, and nobody played it better than Edgar Martinez. And I think as far as the Hall of Fame goes, we should include every position that is in the game and the best players from those positions.
Well, my reaction to that would be that designated hitters are not really a position on the field. The designated hitter is kind of this somewhat artificial thing where, hey, this is a one-dimensional guy. And I think that, frankly, Edgar Martinez doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame even if he played a position. His statistics still aren't good enough. But the fact is this guy had no defensive value, certainly no base-running value. And as a one-dimensional player, his one dimension still wasn't even good enough. What do you think, Neil?
Well, I look at the election this year of Paul Molitor, who played, about half his career as a designated hitter?
Roughly, yes.
And so he was, of course, not a liability on the base paths at all, pretty good base runner, and did play an awful lot in the field. But I guess he's the first man to be elected as a designated hitter. But it raises all kinds of questions. By the way, Jeff, thanks for the phone call. It raises all kinds of questions about baseball specialists. I mean, you can point to a fair number of people who were in the Hall of Fame who were defensive liabilities. statues out in the field.
I think you can, but at least they were good enough to play in the field. I mean, baseball is really one of the last vestiges of a place where in sports where you can have an all-around type of player. I mean, of course, football, you have the two platoon system, you have nickelbacks coming in for only third downs. And baseball, you know, you want to have that all-around guy. You want to have a guy who can hit, who can run, who can throw. And you know, if you don't have that, you better be really good at that one thing. Now, Paul Molitor, who, again, was just elected to the Hall of Fame, I mean, he had also his counting statistics were vastly higher than Edgar Martinez. He had 3,300 career hits. He had 504 stolen bases. And he also played in the field considerably more than Edgar Martinez did. So, again, this is not to take away from what Martinez did. He was fantastic. He was also a wonderful ambassador for the game. This is a really classy, intelligent man who represented the city of Seattle and baseball in general wonderfully. But I think when you look at the elite players of all time, there are many players not in the Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame is pretty overpopulated as it is, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ron Santo was a considerably better player than Edgar Martinez was. Dick Allen was probably a better all-around player.
Maybe Joe Torre. I could throw that name in there. Anyway, let's get another caller on the line. Phil is with us from Duluth, Minnesota.
Hello. I would just like to agree with the previous caller to a pretty large extent. I do think that since baseball, Major League Baseball, has created this position that a player who establishes himself as the gold standard at that position certainly deserves consideration. And 5 years from now, when Mr. Martinez becomes eligible, if nobody else has come close to those statistics, which I doubt they will, Frank Thomas possibly, I just think that he has to be considered.
Well, I think that he certainly will be considered. We're just considering him a little bit early right now. But I think that when you say that baseball created a position, certainly it did, and it did officially create the designated hitter. But let's examine baseball as it stands now. There are such situational relievers. There are pitchers who come in, typically lefties, who come in for only one or maybe two batters in the seventh or eighth inning. They are important players on a team. If somebody comes along and becomes the best left-handed specialist of all time, he is the best at that role that baseball has invented. Should he be in Cooperstown with the Sandy Koufaxes?
Well, just to extend the argument, though, there are an awful lot of people who say baseball is overlooking the closer specialists like Bruce Sutter and Goose Gossage. Only a few relievers at all have ever gotten into the Hall of Fame.
I happen to disagree with that because Bruce Sutter was a fantastic pitcher. Raleigh Fingers is in the Hall of Fame. And Dennis Eckersley was just elected to the Hall of Fame. I think that some closers have been overlooked because closers, or what we used to call closers in the 70s and 80s, were used in such a way that they were more valuable probably than the ways in which they're used today. They were used for more innings per game. They were used in different types of situations rather than simply protecting two-run leads entering the ninth inning. But in terms of baseball creating the designated hitter, which of course it did more officially than my example of the situational left-hander, I think that, you know, the argument would extend to the situational left-hander, and that doesn't mean you're one of the greatest players to ever play the game. It means you played your role extraordinarily well, but how important was that role? How valuable was it, and how does it compare to the players who have played the game in the past? These are wonderful arguments. The callers, of course, have valid opinions. I just don't happen to agree with them.
Phil, thanks very much. We're talking with Alan Schwartz of Baseball America about the designated hitter and its place in baseball history. That after news this week that perhaps the best DH of them all, at least so far, Edgar Martinez of the Seattle Mariners, will retire at the end of the season. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I say, you know, arguably the best designated hitter of them all. We mentioned Paul Molitor, who played about half his career as a DH. Harold Baines is another man who's going to come up for consideration.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think that he belongs in the Hall of Fame either. I'm going to sound like kind of a tough cookie here, but I think that the Hall of Fame is for the elite players of all time. And if I had a vote, which I do not because I'm not a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, I mean, Harold Baines, looking at his statistics right now, had 384 lifetime home runs, nothing too special, 1,628 RBIs, which was very good. There's no question about that. But he had no, of course, no defensive value, no base running value, and just wasn't that great. I mean, he was very, very good. I think people misunderstand when you say that somebody is not a Hall of Fame player. It doesn't mean he wasn't very good for a long time. And Fred McGriff, who, of course, was just bouncing around this year trying to reach 500 home runs, this guy was really good. I just don't happen to think he's elite enough for the Hall of Fame.
Jay is with us from Oakland, California.
Hey, I just want to say I'm very grateful that you guys have this topic. I'm a avid baseball fan and an avid NPR fan, and so the two coming together is really great. I agree with just about everything your guest is saying, and because I'm a kind of an extremist on the Hall of Fame, too. I think that only the absolute best belong there. And if you put someone like Harold Baines or someone like Edgar Martinez into the Hall of Fame, what do you do with Roberto Clemente or what do you do with Al Kaline? There's going to have to be a higher hall for them to go to because they're quantifiably and qualitatively demonstrably better ball players than Edgar or Harold Baines.
Hmm.
One thing about Edgar is as a lifetime A's fan, the Mariners play in our division, and I've seen a lot of him, and he is a superb hitter. And I've got nothing against Edgar Martinez. I've got nothing but respect for him. But your guest is right on both points that being a DH automatically should disqualify you from the Hall of Fame because defense is such an important part of the game. And even just as a hitter, he didn't do it long enough to be a Hall of Famer. And that's really all I have to say, and I thank you.
Jay, thanks for the call. Here's an email question from Ben in Monterey, California. If Sandy Koufax can make the Hall of Fame for a career with just 5 outstanding years, 87% of the baseball writers voted him in on the first ballot. I've never heard anyone say Koufax does not belong. Shouldn't Edgar Martinez get in with 7 All-Star years?
I absolutely not, because Koufax's 5 great years were so unbelievably good that you almost have no choice but to consider him as a Hall of Fame player. There are valid arguments, frankly, against Sandy Koufax being in the Hall of Fame. He only had 165 career wins. He only had, as the caller said, really 5 or 6 very good, whether they're outstanding or not, 5 or 6 very good seasons. But the thing about Sandy Koufax, of course, is he had to retire in his prime. And there is special consideration given to somebody whose career was cut short by, I believe it was arthritis, mm-hmm. With Sandy Koufax. And so, you do have to take that, of course, into account.
Just about a minute and a half left, and one thing we have to think about today is the historical contributions of Edgar's old teammate with the Seattle Mariners, Ken Griffey. Injured his hamstring again. He's out for the rest of this year, and it now looks certainly as if his best years are well behind Ken Griffey Jr. As we look at his career, over 500 home runs, first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh, absolutely. Ken Griffey Jr. was one of the two best players of the 1990s, Barry Bonds being the other, and Barry Bonds probably being a slight notch higher. But Ken Griffey Jr. was absolutely the best player in the American League throughout the 90s, was a 40-50 home run hitter, played outstanding defense, was a good, and then you have the intangibles of a good ambassador for the game. Oh, no, he's absolutely a first ballot Hall of Famer, his recent injuries notwithstanding.
Nobody could forget that commercial that they made on TV, Phil Rizzuto being much calmer than he would have been in real life, but at the end of it, Ken Griffey going to California to make the catch, firing it back to Yankee Stadium, and kids got an arm.
That's right. Holy cow.
Holy cow. Alan Schwartz, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Neil. Anytime.
Alan Schwartz, a senior writer for Baseball America, a columnist for the New York Times, and the author of The Numbers Game, Baseball's Lifelong Fascination with Statistics. He joined us from his hotel in Seattle, Washington, home of the Seattle Mariners. In Washington, D.C., I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.